Welcome to AM Best Audio.
Tightening capacity, losses, insolvencies, legal uncertainty. Florida's troubled property insurance market is drawing increasing scrutiny. On May 23rd, a special session of the Florida legislature will convene to find a solution for the struggling market. I'm Lori Chortis for AM Best TV. Joining me now to talk about how the Bermuda insurance and reinsurance market supports Florida's insurance risk and to address issues that state now faces is Stephen Weinstein, chair of the Bermuda Business Development Agency. Welcome, Steve. Thanks so much for joining me today.
Thank you, Lori. It's great to be with you.
We've spoken with you at RIMS and elsewhere, and you point out that Florida's principal problem is fraud, not weather. Can you elaborate on that, please?
Lori, I'd be delighted to. Florida poses unique challenges for insurers and reinsurers and for homeowners. It's a low-lying peninsula exposed to hurricane risk. But over the last 30 years, together, we've learned to address and manage the risks of hurricanes, floods, and windstorms. The real challenge Florida is facing now is not insurance, but fraud at a weaponized industrial scale. Florida is about 8% of the nation's homes and about 8% of the nation's homeowner claims. That makes sense. But nonetheless, Florida has nearly 80% of the nation's litigated insurance claims for homeowners. That just cannot be correlated. It's not attributable to any physical impact. It is unfortunately a series of created opportunities for fraud to run rampant. And what we are seeing now is indeed fraud is running rampant in Florida. So that's an issue not just for the carriers and the other parties who pay for that, effectively a crime, but for every homeowner in Florida. We all are aware of inflation. Inflation is on everyone's mind these days. This out-of-control fraud epidemic and fraud is, in effect, inflationary for every homeowner in Florida because it drives up the expense of everyone's insurance premiums, not just the homes that are subject to or participating in this current scheme.
There are certainly some legitimate roof claims in Florida, but how do you determine which are legitimate claims and which are fraud?
There surely are, Lori, and the Florida companies, I'm sure, are eager to pay valid claims. Indeed, that's the product. It's the core of their value proposition. But Florida, because of a couple of unique characteristics, is unduly ripe for fraud. And let me talk about one data point and the one structural reason. The Florida Office of Insurance Regulation, the Florida Insurance Department, found that homeowners' roofing claims associated with an assignment of benefit, more on that in a moment, were subsequently followed by in more than 70% of cases by no permit to actually fix any roof damage. And that's the important thing, that Florida has made it easy to abuse a structure which is used in many states and has valid purposes in Florida, assignment of benefits, where a consumer, frequently not really knowing what they may be doing in the aftermath of a legitimate claim or otherwise as a result of marketing, assigns their benefits to a cluster of bad actors who frequently do share some money with the homeowner who assigned the benefit, but really capture most of the money for themselves. A recent study found that since 2015, for claims of this nature, only 8% of dollars had ended up back with the homeowner, and more than 70% had gone to public adjusters, roofing attorneys, and roofers. But not for roof claims, just dollars out the door, because that 8% I think includes the roof claim. So part of what we have to do over time is reform, not eliminate, but reform the assignment of benefits. Florida has been trying. We passed some partial reform. We observed some partial reform passed in 2019. But since then, AOB claims are not down. They're up 13%. And the other data that I've shared with you continues. So I applaud the effort of the state and its leadership to grapple with this over time. Clearly, we have more work to do. And I'm optimistic we'll grapple with that work and make progress this year and in the periods to come.
As Florida gets set for a special legislative session, what do you hope will be the best outcome?
It's unfortunate that Florida is subject to these challenges, but if there is an upside to a human-created crisis, it's that a human-created crisis can be fixed. So I choose to be optimistic. I'm sure that the state's leaders have sewn themselves together because they see that there's a path to make some progress this year. And I think we're all very hopeful that they will make some progress. Ideally, they will address the root cause of this issue. Because indeed, we've seen the emergence of fraud more than one time, indeed, time after time, cycle after cycle. The precedent for the current crisis, which manifests itself in alleged roof claims, is a series of previously alleged sinkhole claims, which was preceded by a series of alleged mold claims, which was preceded by a series of Chinese drywall. It's been a two-decade process of whack-a-mole. Ultimately, what we need to do is fix some basic architectural reasons which make it unusually possible for Florida to be subject to thievery at this level. But again, it's a man-made problem, therefore it can be fixed, and I hope we do grapple with it. There are other things that we can do short of a complete reform, which will provide more stability to the market. We can't let the perfect be the enemy of the useful, and I hope somewhere between useful and a complete fix is what we see in the evening of the 24th.
So what would be a poor outcome?
A poor outcome, alas, and I don't expect that, would be no change. Where we are right now is companies are failing, and they're not failing in the midst of a storm. It has not been storm season. There has not been an outbreak of, say, sinkholes. Companies are just failing because they can't get their arms around these litigated claims. That can't continue, and I believe that that realization that the consumer pain of seeing your carrier go under, of seeing rates increase 30 to 40%, must be addressed somehow. And I'm hopeful they'll make some steps, if not total steps, but some steps to move forward. And we have to be optimistic because the alternative is where we are right now.
Do Florida's difficulties impact Bermuda insurers and reinsurers, and how so?
Absolutely. Since Hurricane Andrew in the early 90s, Florida's most important risk trading partner has been Bermuda. And indeed, Florida has been Bermuda's largest trading partner measured in terms of premium in dollars. We've been joined at the hip for all these years, partners and collaborators, and it matters a lot to the Bermuda market that Florida is stable and healthy and a good place to do business. They are watching keenly. It's strongly in the interest of Bermuda as a whole to continue and to grow that partnership. In recent quarters, recent years, that's been extremely challenging. The Bermuda market is expert and adept at matching risk and capital to some of the most challenging risks, whether it's quakes in Japan, wildfires in California, or Florida hurricane. And they want to match capital to that risk. It's very hard to match risk against out of control and difficult to model fraud at these levels. So I think they're standing by, they're watching very carefully, and would be keen to see some reforms that will encourage them to continue and grow the partnership that has characterized the last 30 years.
Citizens Property Insurance Corporation plays a special role in Florida. In recent years, Citizens has been purchasing reinsurance. Does that risk make its way to Bermuda?
Indeed, it does. I think we should all be grateful by the outstanding management and management team at Citizens, which is almost unique, a very large insurance company which seeks to shrink, not grow, and which is motivated to protect itself, not necessarily to profit. It's really quite unique and very well run. The Bermuda market and carriers worldwide, carriers across the United States, but in particular the Bermuda market, have been important partners to Citizen, helping Citizen invest in its own financial resilience, as well as sharing science and best practices about risk mitigation and home protection that have helped make Florida more resilient to loss. It is nonetheless true that policies in Citizens as a general proposition on a per dollar of risk basis are associated with less reinsurance than policies in the private market. But supporting Citizens and being a good partner, not just with capital, but expertise, has been important to the Bermuda market, and I'm sure that will continue.
The legislative session comes before the June 1st reinsurance renewals. How is that affecting renewals?
Clearly, the uncertainties that the market has experienced over this last period have been another factor making this renewal challenging for Florida homeowners. Lori, as you note, it's really right on the eve of renewal. In general, we all hope to see orderly renewals, renewals that are not late minute. But that said, I would urge folks, don't worry about the calendar. Do the right thing, as much as the right thing as you can. The market will sort itself out. But the sooner we can have reform and the sooner we can have really meaningful reform, the better it will be for the market and the better it will be for Florida homeowners.
With hurricane season upon us, how will the Bermuda market assist Florida with storm exposure and potential losses? And any thoughts on what we might see for the season?
Well, I think we should all approach any hurricane season with an expectation that a Cat 4 or Cat 5 will come hit your house. And it's as someone who moved to Bermuda more than 20 years ago and adopted Bermuda and was adopted by Bermuda, that culture of mitigation and preparedness is something that I know can be a model for the world. I hope everyone in Florida is readying their storm kit, is assuring that they have their insurance and understand it. It's very useful to make an inventory of your real possessions, but prepare as if a storm will hit you this year, and that ranges from your physical preparation to your financial preparation. The reinsurers are helping now. They are standing by, quoting business. They're adding their expertise and sharing their knowledge about what mitigation features help the most. If there is a storm this year, I have every confidence that the Bermuda reinsurers and reinsurers in other market will do what they've done since Hurricane Andrew, pay claims immediately Indeed, before immediately. The Bermuda market's known for extremely rapid claim payments, particularly to Florida, and no one roots for an event. But if there is an event, Florida's partners in Bermuda will be there, ready to wire money and support the recovery, as they have for every storm since Hurricane Andrew.
We've read some recent announcements about Bermuda and climate risk. Can you please elaborate on that?
Thank you, Lori. The roots of the modern Bermuda market, which date in some way to the innovation of captives in Bermuda to the 1950s, but the modern market begins the story in some respects with Hurricane Andrew, when capital and executives and entrepreneurs came to Bermuda to help Florida and the U.S. markets more broadly address the aftermath, as it were, of the hurricane. So the very roots of Bermuda are in climate-driven risk. Climate-driven reinsurance, climate-driven ILS have been the heart of the Bermuda market across these last decades. The Bermuda market has diversified enormously since then into specialty coverages, into other forms of financial innovation. And now we are excited to be and to share with stakeholders worldwide why the Bermuda platform, which so robustly supports climate-driven reinsurance, supports other forms of climate-driven financial services solutions. We've just come back from New York, where we had a fantastic executive forum showcasing the strengths of our platform as a whole. Among other things, the energy, the appetite to address our biggest challenge, climate change and climate risk, with collaboration with partners, with finance, with science, was very clear at our conference, and I think Bermuda will play a role. We are open for business and we're open for climate business. Bermuda has expertise, particularly around how climate risk resides on a balance sheet. And we offer innovators one enormous advantage that no other leading jurisdiction, I think, does that I can point to. One regulator, a regulator that's unified and consolidated and also expert. As we innovate and try to address climate change, I hear about products and solutions which move across verticals, insurance and banking and consumer credit and derivatives. In Bermuda, the BMA, the Bermuda Monetary Authority, has oversight of all of that. In the U.S., you'd have to navigate and grapple with a different regulator for all of these things. We don't have any time to waste. Florida has no time to waste, I think, to address its fraud issues. The broader world has no time to waste to address rising heat and storm risk and all of the other challenges that come out of climate change. Bermuda can help you accelerate your products and solutions to market, and I'm confident that it will play a big role in doing just that.
What's your perspective on the NAIC's move for a climate risk disclosure standard for insurers, and how does that compare with what the SEC has sought?
Thank you very much, Lori. And that was a really encouraging move, and I want to applaud the NAIC for their recent announcement. So in many ways, there's a striking similarity between what the NAIC has just done, which is require disclosures of U.S. primary insurance companies along the framework that has been adopted by the TCFD, the Task Force for Climate Disclosure. It was a bipartisan rule enactment. It was championed, among others, by Florida's own insurance commissioner, David Altmaier, by insurance commissioners from blue states, and it's just a terrific bipartisan way forward, and we're thrilled to see it. Stakeholders should know the climate risk of key parties in their financial wallet, as it were, including their insurance company. And that's a live rule. For companies that have not been providing similar disclosures on a voluntary basis, that rule is live for November. Thematically, it's similar to what the SEC has done. The SEC has also proposed new rules, which would require public companies in the US to make similar disclosures. The underlying intellectual framework, again, is quite similar to the TCFD, but a difference is the SEC rule is still proposed. So as not for the first time, the insurance community has gone out in ahead and has innovated early to provide useful information to extremely important. People need to know their insurance will pay them. And by shining a light and encouraging this transparency, the NAIC has done a great job and out ahead of some other regulators. And I think we can all be proud of their leadership in the space.
Steve, thanks so much for speaking with me today.
Thank you for having me, Lori.
That was Steven Weinstein, chair of the Bermuda Business Development Agency. For AM Best TV, I'm Lori Chortis.
Looking to get the full attention of the insurance industry? We have the platforms that will do just that. Whether it be AM Best TV, AM Best Audio, Best Review Magazine, or Best Day. Find out more by calling AM Best Advertising Sales at 908-439-2200, extension 5399, and have a great day.